A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He's asking about moving accessories for people who move frequently and handle their own stuff. Stair climbing dollies, furniture sliders, wheeled bases, where to source quality gear, and crucially, how to use it without ending up in the emergency room. And look, June is peak moving season. Somebody listening right now is staring at a living room full of furniture, dreading the stairs. Let's give them a better option.
The average American moves 11.7 times in a lifetime, according to the most recent Census Bureau data. And the American Moving and Storage Association puts the average cost of a local move at $1,400. That's a local move, not cross-country, not white glove service, just getting your stuff from point A to point B within the same city. So if you're moving every year or two, and you're doing it yourself, the gear we're talking about today pays for itself by move two or three.
The alternative is what most people do. Borrow a standard two-wheel dolly from a friend. Muscle a dresser down 12 stairs, and discover halfway down that gravity has opinions about their technique.
Which is how you become one of the 35,000 moving-related ER visits the CDC reports every year. 60% of those involve stairs. This is not trivial stuff.
Let's define who this episode is actually for. If you've hired full-service movers and you're sitting in a cafe while they haul your sofa, skip this one. But if you've moved at least twice in the last 5 years, you own furniture worth protecting, and you're willing to do some of the heavy lifting yourself, stick around. We're covering three categories of gear: stair climbing dollies, furniture sliders, and wheeled furniture bases. Then where to buy quality equipment without overpaying, and then the safety mechanics that keep you out of the ER.
I want to frame the economics up front. You're looking at spending somewhere between $200 and $800 on gear. That sounds like a lot until you compare it to movers at $500 to $2,000 per move. If you're moving twice a year, you break even inside of 12 months. If you're moving once a year, it's still worth it after move two. The math is not subtle.
The math is the least subtle thing in this episode. Let's start with the gear. Stair climbing dollies. What actually makes them work?
There are three distinct mechanisms, and they are not interchangeable. First, track-based systems. This is what you'll find on a Magliner stair climber, which runs about $400. It uses a continuous track. Think of a miniature tank tread on the back of the dolly. When you tilt the dolly backward, the track engages the stairs, and the whole unit glides up or down step by step. No wheels to catch on the stair edge, no bouncing. It's smooth, it's quiet, and it works on carpet and hardwood equally well.
It has no motor.
No motor, no battery, no electronics to fail. That's why track-based is the winner for frequent movers. The second mechanism is the tri-wheel or planetary gear system. This is what you see on Harper hand trucks, around $250. It uses three wheels arranged in a triangle on each side. As you pull the dolly up a stair, the wheel assembly rotates and the next wheel catches the next step. It's clever, it's cheaper, but it's bouncier. On uneven stairs or outdoor steps, the wheels can skip.
Then there's the motorized option.
Right. Something like the Saker motorized stair climber, about $300. It has a small electric motor that drives the track mechanism, so you're not doing the pulling. The trade-off is weight. A motorized unit weighs around 35 pounds. A manual track dolly like the Magliner weighs about 18 pounds. When you're already moving heavy furniture, adding 17 pounds to the tool you're carrying up and down stairs is not nothing.
Track-based is the gold standard for frequent movers, but you mentioned a learning curve.
Yes, and this is where most people get it wrong the first time. Track-based stair dollies require you to lean back at roughly 15 degrees to engage the tracks. If you're too upright, the tracks don't make contact and the dolly just slides. If you lean back too far, you lose leverage and the load feels heavier than it is. There's a sweet spot, and you need to find it on a flat surface before you tackle stairs with a 200-pound dresser.
That is a very specific number.
It's what Maglinner's own documentation recommends, and it matches the center of mass math. When the load is strapped correctly, and I want to emphasize this, you need two strap points, not one. The dolly balances at roughly 15 degrees of tilt. One strap around the middle of the load, and one near the top. If you only strap at the middle, the load can pivot when the tracks transition from one step to the next. That's how furniture goes tumbling.
Two strap points. Now, load ratings. What can these actually handle?
Track-based dollies like the Maglinner are rated for 600 to 800 pounds depending on the model. The Harper tri-wheel hand trucks handle about 300 to 500 pounds. The motorized Saker is rated for around 300 pounds, but those are ideal condition numbers. On stairs, with an inexperienced operator, I'd derate by about 30%. So a 600-pound Maglinner is realistically a 400-pound tool for a DIY mover.
That 400-pound number is important because it means one person with the right dolly, and proper strapping can move most household furniture alone. A solid wood dresser is 250 pounds. A washing machine is about 200. A fully loaded bookshelf might push 300, all within the realistic range of a track-based dolly operated by one person.
And that brings me to a case study that illustrates the difference. Moving a 250-pound solid wood dresser down 12 stairs. With a standard two-wheel dolly and two people, this typically takes about 45 minutes. You're stopping on every step, you're wrestling the weight, someone's back is straining, and there's usually a moment where someone says, "Don't let go," in a voice that suggests they're about to let go. With a Maglinner track dolly and proper strapping, one person did it in 8 minutes with zero strain. 8 minutes versus 45, and one person versus two.
That's the difference between dreading a move and treating it like a slightly annoying errand. Alright, let's talk about the underrated MVP of moving furniture sliders.
Sliders are brilliant because they're cheap, they're small, and they eliminate friction almost entirely. But the material choice matters enormously, and most people grab whatever's on the shelf without thinking about their flooring. There are two main types, hard plastic sliders, something like the X-Protector brand, about $15 for a set of four. These are rigid plastic discs that you place under furniture legs. On carpet, they glide beautifully because the plastic doesn't catch on fibers. On hardwood, they slide well too, but they can trap grit underneath, and that grit acts like sandpaper.
Hard plastic on hardwood is a gamble.
It's a gamble, and I've seen the aftermath. Micro scratches across an oak floor in a 1,200 square foot apartment. The move saved about 22 minutes compared to using furniture blankets, but the floor refinishing cost $600. That math doesn't work. Felt back sliders, something like the Slider Pro brand, about $20 for a set of four. The felt side goes against the floor, and it's safe on hardwood, tile, laminate, basically everything. The trade-off is durability. Felt wears down. After three or four moves, the felt compresses, the plastic backing starts to peek through, and then you're right back to scratching floors. So for frequent movers, you're replacing felt sliders every couple of years.
Which is still cheaper than refinishing a floor. One pro tip I've seen, and this might be counterintuitive, is to place sliders under the sofa legs, not under the frame.
That's important. If you put sliders under the frame of a sofa, the weight distribution shifts and the sofa can tip when you push it. The legs are the designed load-bearing points. Put the sliders under the legs, keep the center of gravity low, and push from the base, not the back. Sofas are top-heavy. Push from the back, and you're creating a lever that wants to flip the whole thing forward.
Like trying to push a filing cabinet from the top drawer.
Exactly the same physics. All right, the third category, wheeled furniture bases. These are the low-profile platforms with casters that you slide under heavy items.
There's a spectrum here, from cheap and functional, to industrial and indestructible.
On the cheap end, you've got the IKEA furniture mover hack. Those four packs of small furniture dollies with 360-degree casters, about $30 on Amazon. Each dolly is maybe 6 inches square, you put one under each corner of a dresser or bookshelf, and you roll it across the room. They work fine on hard floors and low-pile carpet. They struggle on high-pile carpet, door thresholds, and anything outdoors.
On the other end?
Heavy-duty furniture trucks with pneumatic tires. Uline sells these for about $100. Pneumatic tires, meaning air-filled, like a bicycle tire, absorb vibration. If you're moving furniture across an uneven sidewalk, down a driveway, or over cobblestones, pneumatic tires make the difference between a smooth roll and a rattling disaster. Solid rubber casters are fine for indoor-only moves, but the moment you hit an outdoor surface, you want air in those tires.
The pneumatic tire is basically suspension for your dresser.
That's exactly what it is, and it's worth the extra $70 if you're moving in and out of apartments with outdoor walkways. Now, load ratings on these. The cheap Amazon dollies are typically rated for 250 to 300 pounds per dolly, so a set of four handles up to 1,200 pounds in theory. In practice, the casters are the weak point. The swivel bearings seize up, the wheels develop flat spots, and suddenly your 1,000-pound rated setup can't handle a 400-pound armoire without locking up.
You're buying casters as much as you're buying a platform.
The casters are the whole product. The platform is just a piece of plywood with mounting holes. What you're paying for is bearings that don't seize, wheels that don't flat spot, and swivels that actually swivel under load. Uline's pneumatic tire dollies use commercial-grade casters with sealed bearings. That's the difference.
Now that we've covered the three main categories of moving gear, let's talk about where to actually buy this stuff without getting ripped off.
This is where most people default to Amazon and hope for the best. Amazon is fine for sliders and ratchet straps, commodity items where brand doesn't matter much. But for dollies and hand trucks, you want to see the thing before you buy it. The handle shape, the weight balance, the way the track mechanism engages, none of that comes through in a product photo.
Where do you go?
Northern Tool is probably the best retail option for stair climbing dollies under $400. They carry Magliner and Harper, and their stores typically have floor models you can handle. Feel the weight, test the track mechanism, see if the handle height works for your body. If you're 5'4" and the handle is designed for someone 6'2", you're going to hate using it.
For the industrial grade stuff,
Uline is the standard for commercial grade dollies and furniture trucks. Their catalog is comprehensive, their load ratings are honest, and their products are designed for warehouses that move heavy loads every single day. The downside is shipping. Uline's shipping costs are notoriously high because they're shipping heavy steel items. If you live near one of their distribution centers and can do will call pickup, you save a lot. Otherwise, factor in $50 to $100 for shipping on a dolly.
The budget option.
Their 500-pound capacity furniture dolly at $25 is genuinely good. It's a simple hardwood platform with four casters. Not much to go wrong. I've used them, they hold up. But, and this is a big but, avoid their $60 stair-climbing dolly. It uses a plastic track mechanism, and independent testing plus user reports consistently show the track cracking at around 220 pounds. The dolly is rated for 300 pounds, but that plastic track fails well below the rating, and when it fails catastrophically. The track cracks, the dolly jams on the stairs, and you're stuck with a loaded dolly halfway up a flight of stairs.
The Harbor Freight furniture dolly is a steal. The Harbor Freight stair dolly is a liability.
And that $60 you save becomes a $500 emergency room copay if things go wrong. Compare that to the Magliner, which has a 10-year warranty and is ANSI/ITSDF B56.1 compliant. That's the safety standard for powered and non-powered hand trucks. The Magliner costs $400, but it's rated for 600 pounds, and it actually handles 600 pounds.
There's also the rental strategy. For someone who moves once every 3 years, buying a $400 dolly doesn't make sense.
Sunbelt Rentals and Home Depot rent stair-climbing dollies for $45 to $75 per day. If you move once every 3 years, you spend maybe $50 per move on dolly rental. Over a decade, that's $150 total versus $400 to buy. Renting is the clear winner for infrequent movers. But if you're moving twice a year or more, and that's the audience we're talking about today, you hit the break-even point in about 18 months. Buy once, cry once.
There's also a middle path. Buying used commercial gear. You mentioned movemakers.com.
Com and similar specialty sites sell used commercial moving equipment at about 40% off retail. These are dollies that spent a few years in a warehouse or with a moving company, got refurbished, and are being resold. A used Magliner in good condition might run $250 instead of $400. The tracks might have some wear, the handles might have some scuffs, but the mechanism is the same. For a DIY mover, that's a great option. Commercial quality at consumer prices.
All right, so you've got the gear. But if you use it wrong, you're going to end up in the ER. Let's talk safety.
The three most common moving injuries, in order, herniated discs from twisting while carrying a loaded dolly upstairs, crushed fingers from the dolly's stair tracks retracting, and drop loads from understrapping. Each of these is preventable with the right technique.
Let's start with the back injuries. Twisting while carrying weight is the classic mistake.
It's the number one mechanism for herniated discs in moving. You're on the stairs, the dolly is tilted back, you need to adjust your position, and you twist at the waist instead of pivoting your feet. That rotational force on a loaded spine is what ruptures discs. The fix is a pivot belt. It's a simple nylon belt that goes around your waist and clips to the dolly handle. It transfers some of the load to your hips and forces you to pivot with your whole body instead of twisting at the waist. Pivot belts cost about $30. Herniated disc surgery costs about $30,000.
That is a compelling return on investment.
The second injury, crushed fingers, happens because people don't know where the pinch points are on a stair-climbing dolly. On a track-based dolly, the track mechanism retracts when you tilt the dolly upright. If your fingers are near the track hinge when that happens, you're losing a fingernail at minimum. The rule is simple. Hands stay on the handles, never on the frame near the tracks, never near the hinge. If you need to adjust the load, set the dolly down flat first.
The third, drop loads from understrapping.
This is where people try to save 30 seconds and end up with a destroyed dresser. For loads over 150 pounds, you need ratchet straps, not cam buckle straps. Cam buckles, the kind where you pull the strap tight and the buckle grips it, can slip under heavy loads, especially if the strap gets dusty or damp. Ratchet straps use a mechanical ratchet that physically locks the strap tension. They cost about $10 each, and they don't slip. Use two, one around the body of the load, one around the top, and inspect the straps before every move. Frayed straps can snap.
Let's talk about load distribution. You mentioned the 60-40 rule.
60% of the weight should be on the axle, 40% on the handles. If the load is too handle heavy, meaning you've positioned the item too high on the dolly, the whole thing wants to tip forward on stairs. That's how loads go over the top of the dolly and down the stairs. The quick way to check, measure the height of your load, divide by 1.5, and that's roughly where the center of the load should sit relative to the axle. For a 4-foot tall dresser, the center should be about 2.7 feet above the axle. If it's higher than that, lower the load or reposition it.
That's the kind of specific, actionable math that saves people from learning the hard way.
Then there's stair technique, which is completely counterintuitive for most people. When you're going upstairs with a loaded dolly, the load should face away from you. The load pushes into the stairs. The stairs support the weight, and you're essentially guiding it upward. When you're going downstairs, the load faces towards you. The load acts as a counterweight, and you're controlling the descent. Most DIYers want to face the load going down so they can see where they're going. That's exactly backwards. It puts the weight in front of you, pulling you down the stairs.
Ascending, load away. Descending, load toward you.
And always have a spotter for loads over 200 pounds on stairs. The spotter's job is not to help carry. It's to watch the stair edges, call out obstructions, and stabilize the load if it starts to shift. A spotter can't stop a 400-pound dolly from falling, but they can prevent the small wobble that becomes a big problem.
I want to touch on something the research surfaced. Furniture moving straps. These are the harness systems that go over your shoulders and under the furniture. They're marketed as enabling solo moves. Are they actually safe?
They're useful within limits. Moving straps, sometimes called lifting straps or forearm forklifts, are heavy-duty nylon straps that let you lift furniture using your legs and shoulders instead of your arms and back. For a sofa or a mattress, they work. They're $30 to $40 a pair, and they can turn a two-person awkward carry into something manageable. But the marketing that says they enable solo moving of heavy items is dangerous. NIOSH, the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, recommends a maximum safe lift of 51 pounds under ideal conditions. A sofa weighs 2 to 3 times that. Even with straps, you're exceeding the safe lift threshold by a wide margin.
Straps make a two-person job easier. They don't make a two-person job a one-person job.
The false confidence is the problem. Someone watches a video of a guy moving a refrigerator alone with shoulder straps, thinks, I can do that, and doesn't realize the video doesn't show the 3 takes where it went wrong. Use straps as a supplement to proper equipment, not a replacement for it.
Let's put together the actual shopping list. What does a frequent mover kit look like?
Start with one track-based stair-climbing dolly, magliner, or equivalent, $250 to $400. one set of felt-backed furniture sliders, $20. One furniture dolly with pneumatic tires, about $100 from Uline, and four ratchet straps, $10 each, $40 total. Grand total, roughly $500.
$500, and it pays for itself in 1 to 2 moves compared to hiring movers. After that, every move is essentially free from an equipment standpoint.
The kit fits in a closet. The dolly folds, the slider stack, the furniture dolly is maybe 2 feet by 3 feet. You don't need a garage.
Before you commit to buying, though, read first, try a stair-climbing dolly from Sunbelt for $50 a day. If the Magliner feels too heavy or the handle height is wrong for you, you're out $50, not $400. That's cheap insurance against buying the wrong tool.
When you do rent or buy, there's a pre-move safety checklist that takes 5 minutes and prevents 90% of moving disasters. 1. Inspect all straps for fraying, cuts, or UV damage. A strap that's been sitting in a hot garage for 2 years can look fine and snap under load. 2. Check dolly wheels for debris, flat spots, or seized bearings. Spin each wheel by hand before you load anything. 3. Test the stair climbing mechanism on a single step, unloaded. Before you commit to a full flight, listen for grinding, feel for resistance. 4. Always have a spotter for loads over 200 pounds on stairs.
That checklist is the difference between a move that's done by lunchtime and a move that ends with a 911 call. And here's the thing. The cost of bad gear is not just the gear. It's the damaged furniture. It's the medical bills. It's the day of work you miss because you threw your back out. The CDC number bears repeating. 35,000 moving-related ER visits per year. 60% involve stairs. That's not a statistic. That's a lot of people who thought they could muscle through it.
The technique matters more than the gear. A $400 Magliner in the hands of someone who doesn't know the 15-degree tilt angle or the 60-40 load distribution is just an expensive way to damage furniture. The gear enables good technique. It doesn't replace it.
Here's what I'd tell someone to do this week. Go to your local Northern Tool or Uline. Physically go there and handle a Magliner and a Harper hand truck. Feel the weight difference between the track-based and the tri-wheel. Test the handle grip. Online reviews will tell you the load rating and the price. They won't tell you how the handle feels in your hands or whether the balance point works for your height.
That's the thing no review captures. Ergonomics. A dolly that's perfectly balanced for someone 6 feet tall might be awkward for someone 5'6". The handle angle, the distance from the axle to the grip, the weight of the unit itself. These are subjective factors that matter enormously in use. You wouldn't buy a bicycle without sitting on it. Don't buy a dolly without handling it.
Before we wrap up, let me give you the exact shopping list and the one thing you should do before your next move.
The kit. One track-based stair-climbing dolly, Magliner or equivalent, $250 to $400. One set of felt-backed furniture sliders, $20. One furniture dolly with pneumatic tires, $100. Four ratchet straps, $40. And one pivot belt, $30. Total, roughly $550. That's your frequent mover foundation.
The one thing to do before your next move, rent a stair-climbing dolly for a day and practice on your stairs with an empty load. Find the tilt angle. Learn where the pinch points are. Get comfortable with the ascent and descent technique. The worst time to learn how a stair dolly works is when there's 300 pounds of furniture strapped to it.
If you're moving furniture across mixed flooring, carpet in the bedrooms, hardwood in the living room, test your sliders on each surface before you commit. Felt on carpet creates more friction than you'd expect. Hard plastic on hardwood is a scratch risk. Know your floors and match the slider material accordingly.
Here's the open question I want to leave you with. Motorized stair-climbing dollies, like the Seca Plus, which uses a 200-watt motor and a lithium battery, are getting lighter and cheaper every year. They currently weigh about 35 pounds compared to 18 pounds for a manual track dolly. In 5 years, will the weight gap close enough that motorized replaces manual for frequent movers? Or does the simplicity of a track mechanism, no batteries, no electronics, nothing to fail, keep it dominant?
I think the answer depends on where people live. 30% of U.S. rental units are in buildings without elevators, according to the 2025 census data. That's millions of people in walk-up apartments. For them, weight matters enormously. carrying a 35-pound motorized dolly up 3 flights of stairs before you even start moving furniture is a workout in itself. The manual track dolly at 18 pounds is much more practical for apartment dwellers.
As battery tech improves and motors get lighter, that gap shrinks. I could see a future where foldable motorized stair dollies become standard, especially as more people live in compact urban apartments. Something that fits in a hall closet and does the stair work for you.
The best move-in accessory is the one you own before you need it. Don't be the person buying a dolly at 8 p.m. the night before the move, panic shopping on Amazon, and hoping the prime delivery arrives before the U-Haul. Buy or rent the gear this week. Practice with it. Your back will thank you.
Your furniture will still be in one piece. And now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the Roman province of Britannia, road maintenance crews were required to submit written reports to the provincial governor detailing the condition of specific road segments. One surviving inscription from the 2nd century CE, found near modern-day Corinium, records a complaint from a road curator that his repair budget had been cut by 2/3 because the previous year's gravel resurfacing had washed away in a spring flood, and he was requesting an emergency allocation of 12,000 sesterces to redo the work before the next imperial inspection. The governor's response is not preserved, but the curator's name appears on no further inscriptions, suggesting he was either replaced or his request was denied.
12,000 sesterces and career oblivion. Some things never change.
Budget cuts and washed out gravel. The Romans really were just like us.
This has been My Weird Prompts, produced by the long-suffering Hilbert Flumingtop. If you've got a moving horror story, and I know you do, send it to prompts@myweirdprompts.com. We might read it on a future episode.
If you found this useful, leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. It helps other frequent movers find the show before they find the emergency room. We're at myweirdprompts.com and on Spotify.
Don't be the person on the stairs at midnight with the wrong dolly. We'll catch you next time.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.